Yeah, wonderful thing to know that we don't have to lead ourselves, amen. Yeah. And we just go around in circles, that's for sure. Praise the Lord that he's the one who does lead us. If you'd like, before we pray, go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. We'll just look at two verses, verses 20 and 21. We'll read those in a moment, but that's where we're coming from. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for today again to be able to come back and just rest in you, to trust you, Lord, for all that we need, to trust you, Lord, to take us, Father, in the right paths, that we not be led astray if we follow your word and your truth, that we surrender ourselves to you, Lord, to be led of you and you alone. And we're grateful, Father, to know that, Father, you'll not just lead us in this life, but you'll lead us right the way home to glory. And we praise you and thank you for that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This afternoon's message, I just thought we'd reacquaint ourselves and what it means to have a sure faith. A sure faith. You know, there's many things that we can be sure of. We know, one, we're all going to pay our tax, amen. That's something that always comes up. We're pretty sure, too, that the sun will rise and set today and to rise again tomorrow. We should be, as Christians, sure of our salvation. There are day-to-day things that we don't think twice about. We're sure that there's a God in heaven. That's if we're believers. We should be sure of that one as well. But I wonder how sure we are when it comes to believing God's promises. And I'm talking about his promises concerning our daily lives. The problems that arise, the trials, the setbacks and so on that we face. In other words, you know, the day in, day out grind of life. Is our faith as sure as it should be? Now, in Matthew 6:33, he promises to provide for our needs. There are promises, Joshua 4:19, for your children, for obedience to God's voice, his word. We have promises for loyalty, promises of deliverance and peace, promises for waiting on God, for the justice of God, for his protection and strength, temptation. As I was going through, there's promises that cover every need in the life of a believer. You think of the promise of our salvation in adversity, and that's without the promises also of Christ and the Holy Spirit. Now, one man wrote, at the end of the day, faith means letting God be God. And isn't that the truth? Now, Hebrews 11:1-3 reminds us, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And listen to what it says, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Our passage for this afternoon comes from Romans 4, verses 20 and 21. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Here we see a testimony that should have us move deep within our souls to imitate Abraham's example. There should be an earnest and an eager desire for us as believers to know and live in the certainty of faith. Now, chapter 4, verse 17, we read, as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead. And look what it says, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. You know, it made me think, we could imagine for a moment, if we could, if anyone asked Abraham, Abraham, how could these things be? I think his reply might have been, what God has promised, he is also able to perform. And so, in other words, see, it's not my business to be anxious. It's not my business to ask how God's word can be fulfilled, because God is the one who will see to it that he will fulfill it. Now, Are you grieving or are you sorrowful over how powerful your doubts are? Do you say you cannot get over them? We need to look and learn from the example of Abraham, the one that God set forth for us in his word, which cannot lie, and we get that victory. The victory that Abraham was thoroughly, he was entirely convinced God was able to perform what is humanly impossible. In other words, what Abraham did, he actually believed God could do what God said he was going to do. That's what he believed. Now, back in Genesis 17, God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, Genesis 17:5. That Sarah also would be the mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her, verse 16. And Abraham said in verse 17, Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And when you get to chapter 18, we read that the Lord appeared to Abraham while he's sitting in his tent. Three men appear, 18:9. They said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of woman. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxen old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? Here they are being given promises from God, and the pair of them are laughing. They're just laughing at what God has said. And if you go to verse chapter 21, verse 1, the Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, who Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Then Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Now the question is, can God be trusted? Can God be believed? And that's the question as believers we need to answer. We need to answer, is anything too hard for the Lord? Can we trust him? Jeremiah 32:17 says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Do we really believe that? Honestly, in the things we face, the trials we go through, the things we are expecting from God, do we really believe it? We looked at this morning, one of God's promises, he sent his son Jesus to seek and save the lost. Do we really believe that? You see, God gives this gracious promise and he tells to us, believe it with all your heart. Romans 10:9-10, he says that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, God's will for the believer is that we take hold of the truth and understand that Jesus sought us as lost, so that means there's grace for anybody as soon as they believe that the Savior will save them. People don't have to look to themselves to find hope to believe what God has promised. They just need to believe as Abraham did. In other words, don't stagger. Don't cut God off. That's what that means. Don't oppose him for salvation. You just receive him. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now I know some people, that they feel that nothing has happened. Listen, I'm sure Abraham and Sarah didn't feel that their bodies were able to produce a child. Some people, they still feel insincere and powerless and everything else they may think they should have. But when a person accepts Christ as Saviour, it's not about feelings. You believe God who makes the dead alive and calleth those things which be as not as though they were. Romans 4:17. See, like Abraham, you cast down every doubt with knowing that what he has promised, he's able to perform. Now, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And if you're watching or whatever today, he wants to see you saved today. He wants you to claim the promise of eternal life. And he wants you to assure you if you do, you've received it. And for the Christian, he doesn't want them to doubt it. He wants them to understand they have it. Now, it comes down to two things. First, know there's a promise for those who are lost. Second, you stick to the fact that what God has promised, he's able to perform. The lost are only got to say, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And I think many Christians need to start saying that too. I will no longer dishonor you, Lord, by doubting. I will no longer dishonor you by fearing. I will trust your power. I will trust your love. I'll trust your faithfulness. I'm going to surrender myself to you. Even though I don't feel it, I'll believe it. You seek and save the lost. Lord, I'm saved, but I still doubt and fear. You've promised to take care of me, to supply my needs. Lord, help my unbelief. I want to believe it. Now, believer, do we still doubt God? No, you say. Well, what about this then? 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Do you believe there's no fear in God's love? Truly, are you living that way with no fear? God loves you. He saved you. What is there to fear? What is there to doubt? Because the bottom line is we're not doubting ourselves. We're doubting God. That we're doubting that God is able to perform what he has promised. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, God promises, there's no fear in my love. And when we truly hand our lives over to him, when we have truly placed our lives into his hands, his peace keeps it. It guards it. It protects it. It keeps and protects our hearts and our minds. You need to see, too many think that faith is something that at its very best is still uncertain. In other words, they believe it's less sure than hearing and seeing. How? It's quite simple. They tend to only believe what they can see or hear. And we looked at our Wednesday night study about the nobleman. But Romans 4:20 says, being strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know, see, some seem to think that faith is nothing more than an imagination. Something whereby we try to be assured in our hearts that we're saved, that we have God's promises, that God may love us. But it's not enough to help me overcome my doubts and my temptations. But God tells us in Philippians 4:19 that he shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In fact, in 1 John 5:14, he says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we desired of him. If his will for us is that perfect love casts out fear, and we want that perfect love, we want that fear gone, well then, that's his will, that's what he desires, he will do it. You either believe that in faith or you don't. 1 Corinthians 10:13, temptation. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, the many find no rest in their faith because they don't understand what faith is. Faith is the substance, that's assurance of things hoped for, the evidence, the conviction of things not seen. You see, faith is represented as the highest certainty, as the sure foundation on which we can trust. See, in faith, nothing changes and neither can it be changed. You know, Abraham, he could see that faith is a strong basis for the simple reason faith depended upon what exists more firmly than the mountains that we can see out here. The oceans out there, faith exists more important than those things. Faith exists on one thing, the indestructible, unmovable Word of God. If God has said it, you believe it. You live on it. You act by it. To do anything else is say, God, I just don't believe you. I'm not going to trust you. And I'm not going to put my hopes in you. I'll live unfaithfully. I'll live in the power of my own self. I'll believe what I want to believe about me. I'll act the way circumstances affect me. I will not be persuaded in any way that you are able to perform that which I cannot do. We aren't talking about faith in faith. We're talking about faith in God and God's word, and that what God has said is the truth. You see, we can lay our lives down upon what he has said. We can rest in assurance that if God is for us, then who can be against us? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Have you been persuaded about that? That neither death nor life nor principalities or powers, and Paul wanted to make it clear, or any other thing we can't even think of. Are you sure? Who can be against us? Matthew 24:35 said, heaven and earth shall pass away. Do you believe that? He said, but my words shall not pass away. You see, for one to come to have rest and peace and stability, they've only got to ask, it's a very simple question, what has God said? It's as simple as that. Is there anything God has commanded me to believe? Has he spoken anything to anyone lost or saved that I'm bound to believe? Because if he has, then my duty is very simple. I am to search it out, receive it as being God's own word to me, the word of the one true God, and that what he says is sure and certain, and I stand on that. You know, what are the lost people meant to believe? Well, 1 Timothy 1:15 tells us, this is a faithful saving and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. You see, a lost person needs to let those truths sink deep into their heart and spirit and soul until their hearts are filled with the truth. Jesus came to save sinners, even me. Jesus didn't come because we believed all this. He came when we were ungodly and we didn't believe anything. And that's still the truth. Jesus is offered today to all who want to accept him. And even before anyone believes that, that's still the truth. It does not depend on anything in us or has yet to happen. The fact is rooted in that God has said it, and what God has promised, he's able to perform. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, there's only one thing for you to do. Hear God's word, receive its truth as God's promise. Christ is the Savior for you. If you're here today and you're saved, then every promise God has made is for you. What do you believe, Christian? Honestly. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, how often the work of the Holy Spirit is hindered in a believer because their hearts and minds are so weighed down with the cares and worries of this world. And the true worry is not all these cares. The true worry is they don't think God's in control. They think that he's left them to defend for themselves and to supply their own needs. See, they're worried that the battle of life is theirs to take on, yet God says the battle belongs to the Lord. 1 Samuel 17:47. God says in Matthew 6:34, therefore take no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen, I learned very quick, worry cannot be changed by worry. You understand that? You got to bring it all to God. You cast it on him. You leave it there. Surely, surely, our Lord is grieved, greatly grieved, when we shut him out and we continue to be stifled and burdened down with the cares around us. Why not trust him with all the burdens and the cares of life? He knows every heartache. He knows every pain. He knows every sorrow. Not one tear is shed that God isn't ready to wipe away. He shed his blood for us. His love came at no cost to us, but cost God his only begotten Son, offered up in pain and agony so that we are accounted as more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now that's the question, are you persuaded that the last trial, if the Lord doesn't return for him, the last trial, death, that God is going to take you to be with him? Because if you're persuaded about that, then why could these lesser things, the cares of this world, have such an effect on you? If he says neither death nor life nor angels or principalities or powers or present or things to come, nor height or depth or any other creature shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, do you believe it? Are you persuaded? And again, our unbelief must surely grieve and hurt the heart of our great God who gave his best to keep us from the worst suffering imaginable. You see, as we stand true and sure in the truth of God, the truth that faith is nothing but a receiving and a committing to the word of the one true God, can we not see that faith is a firm foundation, the only firm foundation, and it cannot be anything else but? See, those cumbered with cares, the question that needs to be asked is why don't you believe what God says? They're simple questions. They're just basic ones. See, faith just does not come by imagining it. Faith involves laying oneself down on the immovable rock of God's word, that Christ did die for the ungodly, and that every need we have can be met in Christ. And for victory, you need to be persuaded about that. You need to understand that this word is sure and true, and not live like it may be right. Because that's what unbelief is really saying. It just may be right. Now, some of us now, I don't want to put on and offend anybody. Some of us more mature people, amen. Many years ago, we will remember someone. He was at the, when I was six or seven, he was at the height of world affairs. Remember Sir Donald Campbell? Remember him with the Bluebird, the fastest car on land, the fastest boat on water. He held several land and water speed records. He lost his life when he was racing a boat on the Scottish lake. And that boat exploded and it sank almost immediately. And it was interesting to find out the only thing they ever really found on the water was a stuffed toy animal. And his family said it was his good luck charm. It was powerless to help him in the final fatal crisis that we all face in life, and that is death. And people, faith is only as good as the object is able that you place it in. And God says, I am able to perform that abundantly about anything you can think of. It's an essential element of a believer's life. But that faith must be in God. You must be persuaded. Can I ask, is your faith a sure faith? Is it giving you victory over the cares of the world? Surrender to Him today and live with the truth. Be persuaded that God is for you, not against you. And only surrender and trust in Him will free you from the cares of this world. What a great God we have. We can stand upon this as long as we are on this earth, and not one thing in here will ever go wrong. Not one. Study the promises for your family. Study them for your children. Study them for your employment, for your daily work, everything in life. And you say and get to God and you say, God, I am persuaded. And the blessings will flow. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, you have made us heirs of the faith. We thank you that we are joint heirs with Christ, and that we have a home beyond this place, Lord. And there is truly nothing to be concerned or worried about. Father, you've given us someone within us, your Spirit, who's able to help us above all that we face. Take away all the worry and concern, and allow us to just settle ourselves upon the rock, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, that nothing, Lord, can move Him. Nothing can change your word to us. And what a blessed word it is. Lord, may we understand that our faith is sure, and that we live in the light of that truth, to the glory of your name. And these things we pray in the precious name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.